You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Good morning. Welcome to the Roto Experts of the Morning. Tony Cicada here with the King, Scott Engel, the Fantasy Executive. We got all sorts of things happening this morning. Week 17, fantasy football right around the corner. And we're all fired up about it. And I got to ask the question, are you? If you're fired up about it, we want to hear from you today. 888-843-6879, 888-843-6879. Also, hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We actually have a poll up there. Who do you think is the most popular athlete? Is it Ronda Rousey, of course, tonight, UFC 207, the return of Ronda Rousey? Is it Ezekiel Elliott, the rookie for the Dallas Cowboys, or Mike Trout, Major League Baseball superstar? Which one is it? What do you guys say? Who do you think is going to be the leader in the poll here of who the top athlete is?
I tell you what, Tone, the way I look at it, I think a lot of these things go by, you know, fantasy owners, sports fans, people in general are prisoners of the moment. So I think right now we see Ezekiel Elliott doing big things in the NFL. I think that Ezekiel Elliott, you know, always a Dallas Cowboy, is always a person that people are either going to love or hate. So I think Ezekiel Elliott is the guy that can come away with this, mainly because we're not seeing Mike Trout on the field right now playing baseball. And Ronda Rousey, we haven't seen her since she got her face kicked off a little while ago.
No, yeah. You know, it's funny. I think Mike Trout would lose to a lot of people. And this guy, is this an indictment on baseball?
I was about to say exactly that. I think it's an indictment on baseball. Baseball, of course, is looked at as a, you know, middle-aged, their fan base is middle-aged men. Whereas it's the NFL, the NBA, even UFC, the fan base is much younger. So you may have a lot of the younger, the youth not really into Mike Trout, not really into baseball. And that's the thing. Baseball has an issue there. I think baseball struggles there trying to attract the new fan base. You got less and less youth playing baseball. So going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think Ezekiel Elliott wins this poll.
Ezekiel Elliott wins this poll. I'm a little surprised, to tell you the truth, because I look at UFC and I thought that Ronda Rousey, she's more of a celebrity, like outside the sport. Like she there. But the problem is, I think, with our Twitter is we have all sports fans.
Oh, yeah. These are sports guys on the Twitter. These are sports guys.
So that's one of the things we got going on today. We've got you covered. Now, week 17, you guys have any action in week 17?
You know what, Tone? I haven't known what to do with my fingers all week. Like, I've been logging on, looking at teams. And I'm like, I can't even set a damn lineup. So this would be a week where I do some real, real heavy DFS play. I think week 17 is the perfect week for DFS. You see some strategy involved. We also got some games where we know we're going to get the majority of the starters playing, the guys we've seen all season. So I am looking forward to playing across the board. I'm talking Fantasy Aces, DraftKings, and FanDuel.
King, how about you? You got any action going on week 17?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do some daily. It's very interesting, though, Tony. Good morning, you and Corey. And, you know, I wrote in the Associated Press last night, it's like this year, week 17 is so skewed. Not only do we have four teams at least resting starters, but there's a ton of injuries this week. So it's going to be more challenging than usual to enter a daily fantasy lineup, which makes it even more fun.
I don't know what more fun. I agree with you though. It's gonna be challenging though.
It'll be different.
Well, Sunday 11 o'clock. We'll see how fun it was. Right, 11 p.m. Sunday.
I'm trying to take a positive outlook here.
I agree with you though. There are so many injuries this week. It's making it a little tough. And I think people are gonna get too crazy. I think, to tell you the truth, is that I know there's some guys that have some very good matchups that are, you know, studs. And I think people are going to get away from, like, the quarterback position to me this week is you got the Aaron Rodgers game, right, with Matthew Stafford, that I think both of those guys are your quarterbacks of choice. I think that the other guy that you're looking at is Drew Brees and his matchup. And then I think the other guy people are going to forget about is Russell Wilson against the San Francisco 49ers, who allow two touchdown passes each and every week. those four guys, to me, are the quarterbacks you choose from, and you don't go cheap at quarterback this week.
What about Matt Ryan? I mean, the Falcons still have something to play for.
The only difference I have is they ran the ball 30-something times against him in the first game. That's the only reason I didn't say Matt Ryan as opposed to
I think
to
he's got a nice
guys.
Floor, maybe better for a cash game. You know, I think two touchdown passes are the minimum.
Oh, he's,
it could be the maximum, too.
He's not a bad... Yeah, he's not a bad play. I just look at the running backs, and that's the only thing. When the other guys, we all know Aaron Rodgers has no running game.
Yeah, unless Montgomery is another one of his 126-yard games, which I don't foresee this week. You know, both those teams give up a lot of points to opposing wide receivers, so yeah, this is definitely going to be a passing game. I actually think that if you're desperate for running back help, they'll look at the fact that Zach Zenner had a really good first half last week, and you know they don't want to get into a slinging match with Green Bay if they can. Ideally, they want to establish some balance and try to keep that offense off the field for one, two more minutes, three more if they could. So I think they'll go back, maybe look at the film and say, look, if we can do this again with Zenner, let's at least try to establish it.
I think one of the problems, you got to make sure that Theo Riddick's out, and secondly is that Green Bay, their defensive weakness is absolutely the secondary. So that'll be tough there. The running back position, one of the guys that I'm looking at this week, and what's your thoughts, Corey? I think a lot of people are going to make the mistake in daily fantasy, and you can play head-to-head. You can get in some head-to-heads and take advantage of this. I think people will make the mistake, and they'll play D'Angelo Williams. I don't believe D'Angelo Williams will play in this game. I think it'll be Fitzgerald Toussaint, because it's the same reason with Tony Romo. There's no reason to play D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
He's a 33-year-old running back. You know exactly what you're going to get, and you need him healthy.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you 100%. So not only do you need him healthy for this postseason run, as you mentioned, but also when Le'Veon Bell does his annual weed suspension for getting popped from off-season pot smoking, the Steelers will need D'Angelo Williams for the first 4 to 6 games next year.
And I also, from the running back position, what's your thoughts, Scotty, on Alfred Blue? Of course, he'll get the opportunity. And Rex Burkhead, it doesn't look like we're going to have any other running backs for the Cincinnati Bengals healthy. Of course, Giovanni Bernard's been out. Jeremy Hill looks like he's going to be out. Rex Burkhead's going to have it all to himself this week.
Yeah, Burkhead's a versatile guy. He's, you know, he's strong, and he's also can catch passes out of the backfield. So I think he gives you a decent floor there. So, and who was the other guy you asked about?
Just slipped Alfred my mind Blue. Right.
Yeah, Alfred Blue already slipped my mind, you know, because outside of that, well, you never know what you're going to get with Alfred Blue in every given week. Again, this is why I hate playing in week 17. I think he'll probably be the lead running back, but with Tom Savage moving the offense, I don't have much confidence that they can get into a consistent scoring position, and that's the risk with Blue.
And then, of course, there's a guy that the Kansas City situation is interesting this week because they have an opportunity there with a good matchup, and Spencer Ware has been a guy that's underachieved. So, Corey, do you think they keep him on the field and they try to get something out of Spencer Ware, or do we see a multitude of backs with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I think we're going to see a good deal of Shaq Kendrick West. It's go time. It's time to get serious about what they do in KC. And what they want to do is run the football, let Alex Smith dink it and dunk it. Every now and then hit Kelsey or the other young man, Tyreek Hill, for the big play. So, but the running game is the core of this team, and I think that we've seen Spencer Ware be an underachiever this season. So I think we start to see some more Shaq Kendrick West in the mix. I think he's a guy that would be interesting to play in week 17.
The one thing with West, though, is when Ware was hurt, he was not that impressive earlier this year.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Scotty, but Spencer Ware hasn't been impressive at all.
I'm saying neither one of them is the answer. In week 8, 14 carries for 52 yards against Indianapolis, and then 13 for 39 against Jacksonville. So I don't know if they have the ideal replacement for Jamaal Charles in that backfield right now.
They better find it soon, right? They're running out of time.
It's getting close. I mean, listen, but with how weak the AFC is, Tone, I almost feel like we are, you know, looking ahead to a Kansas City-New England AFC championship game, unless Pittsburgh can come into KC and knock them off, which you know, they have the offense to do it, but we already know about the home road splits.
Would it be the reverse, though, with Pittsburgh being a division winner and Kansas City being a wild card?
Kansas City should – my guess is Oakland drops out that – Oakland loses this week without Carr, and they drop down to that fifth seed.
Right. So then Kansas City's number two.
Yeah, and that would make the first round matchups in the AFC.
I don't think they could play Kansas City until the championship game because they'd like they'd be the third seed.
That's
right?
What I Pittsburgh? Said. No, Pittsburgh. They're playing in the division round. Pittsburgh would be the AFC next weekend should be, you know, if you look at it this way, by the favorites, the AFC next weekend should be Miami traveling to Pittsburgh and Oakland traveling to Houston.
Right. So how could Pittsburgh play Kansas City in
they'd
the next
beat
round?
Miami.
Yeah, but they're the three seed. They could play the number two. They will play the.
The Kansas two seed would be Kansas City.
Two seed would be Kansas City. Okay.
They have it. Yeah.
I mean, it's a winnable game for Pittsburgh, but, you know. You feel what I'm saying?
You got no confidence. You got no confidence in Matt McGloin.
I don't have confidence in Matt
McGloin. The only person that has confidence in Matt McGloin is Cha Cha. He went on this crazy rant about, you know, how Jeff Hostetler did it, how Doug Williams did it, you know, guys like that. We saw Matt McGloin for, like, what, seven games in 2013, eight touchdowns, eight interceptions. Ham and Egger.
Ham and Egger.
Yeah.
Poor Cha-Cha. It's his birthday today. Cha-Cha's birthday. You going to be nice to him?
If he's nice to me, it's on him.
I kind of
Why are you going eye for an eye? Come on, Ken. You better than that.
Look, if people are nice to me, I'm nice to them. I always give people the benefit of the doubt. But when they come on a segment and immediately start attacking me, I'm not going to have it.
Oh, Scotty ain't having it from Cha-Cha, huh, Tone?
No.
Scotty's riled up today. I was a little riled up today. I might have to tune in to that old school fantasy show to 1 p.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network today. Got a big show lined up for people today. Coming up next, of course, we've got Fact or Fiction as we're going old school. And we'll see the fantasy executive and the king separate fact and fiction, fantasy fair factor. They're going to do a little baseball at 7:45. I have the first round of the NFBC fantasy baseball season, 17 drafts that people have played for, and I have the first round. There's three pitches in the first round, and Bryce Harper, I'm interested to see where he's going to go after a poor season last year. People like Bryce Harper, so I think they forgive and forget this year, Scotty.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then, you know, you saw the speed last year, too, which is a nice bonus. When people look at the talent and people look at the youth, they're going to give him a long rope to hang himself with fantasy-wise.
There you go. Hey, Scott, what about...
What do you mean by that, Scott?
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing.
You never heard that cliche that, you know, long rope to hang yourself. Yeah, they're gonna give him they're gonna have a lot of patience with him. That's what I mean.
Oh, but you're not sleeping on the talent, are you?
I just said because of the talent.
And so when you say hang themselves, you make it think like it could be a mistake.
No, what I'm saying is that they're giving Harper a long rope to hang himself with. That he's got to do this. He's got to be disappointing more than once in a full season in order for people to start being skeptical. That's what I meant.
Are you skeptical, Scott Engel, the king?
Fantasy-wise, I don't think I am, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, you're very – you're usually anti, you know, throwing things out like the rope and you know what I mean?
That's I not yeah, save that for you usually.
usually your buddy Joe Pisapia is though.
Yeah, you well, got it. You we're changing roles today. You're hosting, you know, so yeah. You know, don't have a sense of humor. Be uptight. You know, and I'll throw things out of left field.
Oh boy, we'll get people all
what
fired up
doing?
About it. And of course,
why the headphones are so loud? Why does that? He's so easily distracted. It's like if you do something in the studio that throws him off track, he'll like talk about it on the air.
Yeah, yesterday was a crazy episode of the whole show and the whole situation with Debbie Reynolds. Got him a little out of the loop as somehow he thought Debbie Reynolds was the star of Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah.
Scott Engel.
What?
That's what we said.
That guy is not familiar with anything before 2005.
You were here, Scott?
No, I wasn't. I was out yesterday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't listen live or listen on demand on the app?
No.
Oh, boy.
I was busy.
It's a, like a 6-minute clip out there on demand. You're going to have to go listen because you'll be baffled at where this kid came from. Like, what is wrong with him?
I think he thinks anything before 2005 is, like, not important, doesn't relate.
We're also at 9:30 going to have the Is Mike Florio Lying? And so people will get fired up for that. And
defending champ Tony Sincotta.
I am the defending champ, and I am willing to put my belt on the line in such an epic proportion of a game of such stature. Coming up next, we've got Fact or Fiction. So stay tuned. You listen to Roto Experts in the Morning, and don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, Tony Sincotta. Taking up to 10 a.m. Eastern. The number to call 844-843-6879. You can also hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. Let's go to phone lines and talk to Kenny from Philly. Kenny, what's going on?
What up, Kenny?
Hey, how you doing, boy?
How you doing,
Kenny? Kenny, what's good, Kenny in Philly? What's popping?
Hey, man, first and foremost, man, I want to thank y'all on a good year. I didn't cash in any championships because Le'Veon Bell kind of screwed me. I was on the wrong end of that. But just want to thank y'all on a good year and a happy new year. And I got some DFS plays I want to discuss with you guys.
Oh, well, we appreciate sure. The love, and thanks for rolling with us, especially, you know, coming over to FNSTY with us. You know, we got some true fans out there. Well, you know, friends, not fans, friends. That we like to enjoy time with.
Of course. Hey, Tony, I think you hit it on the head, man. You got the right idea that rolling with Russell Wilson. Everybody going to be on that Packers game, which I got a I have another sneaky play to play with Russell Wilson actually. Man, it's Tyler Lockett. Jimmy Graham been out the picture. I think he pops back up this week, man.
Tyler Lockett,
Jimmy Graham.
No, Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy Graham. It's interesting at the tight end position. I have him as my number four tight end, so he's definitely in the picture. I only have two guys that I've rostered at tight end this week. I have Travis Kelce against San Diego, and then I have Brandon Myers on the cheap against Carolina. Those are only two guys, but I'm not against the Jimmy Graham situation. If you think Wilson's going to have a good day, I don't mind going back there. Scott, what's your thoughts on Jimmy Graham?
I'm going to give you a sneaky play from that game that nobody's going to talk about.
Ooh.
And another sneaky tight end that nobody might be
talking
about.
Please don't say Luke Wilson.
Anyway, I think guy caught the game-winning touchdown pass last week with Tyler Lockett out. This guy is a speed merchant who they want to see who they can get out of him in the postseason. Paul Richardson, I think, against the 49ers is a very sneaky play.
Okay.
And...
Yep.
I don't know if we'll see Ladarius Green or not this week, and Cleveland's horrible against the tight end. I think even Landry Jones can get the ball to Jesse James against the Browns.
One more thing, y'all.
Yeah.
Yo, get it.
Okay, one more thing. The depending on what happened in that Washington game, I know everybody pivoting to the Sunday night game, but if Washington loses, then Detroit and Green Bay would just be playing for the
North.
For the division championship. So, depending on if it's a blowout or not, they might pull a few players at the end. You never know. I'm just saying. I know everybody's going to that their last game, whatever, and that it's a possibility that could happen. So,
if it's a blowout, though, you got to remember something, though. How do you get to the blowout? So, those guys from Green Bay, they put up big numbers. It doesn't matter whether it ends in the third quarter or not.
That's true. Well, all right, guys, I'll be listening, and I'll see you guys on the other side, man.
All right, Kenny.
There he is. Kenny and Billy, absolutely.
What's up?
He said he's on the other side.
Tony. The other side of 2016 is talking 2017.
Oh, okay. I thought Kenny was making a prediction.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's been so many celebrities dying lately. Yeah. He's making sure. In case we're up next. You never know who's up next. If we're up next,
hey, you never
he'll
know.
See us there.
You never know when it's your time, but I would like to be around here a little while longer. So, yeah, Kenny, come to one of the drafts, Kenny. Don't wait till we get to the other side.
Even next year.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Scotty.
Yeah.
That feels a little better,
yeah,
Scotty.
Yeah, I feel better
fact
about that one.
Fact or fiction? We got fact or fiction. We've got some statements I will make, and we'll hear from the experts. And we'll include Florio today, too. We'll give Florio a little love. Mike Florio's with us. He's the Fantasy First Look host, Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Here's what we got going on here today. Fact or fiction? We'll start off with Scott Angle, the king. Cincinnati Bengals running back Rex Burkhead will be a top 10 fantasy running back in Week 17. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction. He'll probably finish in the top 15, but I don't see any upside there.
How about the fantasy executive?
I like Burkhead this week. I do think he can finish as Burkhead, I do think.
What is that? That's a guy. That's a joke that nobody understands.
Yeah, and everybody gets it.
Yeah.
No, I do think that Burkhead or Burkhead?
Burkhead. Burkhead is the announcer.
Burkhead.
The Fox announcer.
Mohead.
Emery Mohead.
Rex Mohead. No.
I never understood why Mohead State didn't get more love from college kids.
Exactly. You seem like it'd be a place that young men would fly
like
to.
Immediately. Like when I saw all these colleges, I said, that's where I want to go. Phil Simms said the same thing.
Florio, did you take when you were choosing college, did Morehead State come across your mind?
No, unfortunately.
He doesn't have to worry about that, though. Anybody who has smiles as much as Mike Florio does, he doesn't have any issues.
Very good. All right, but when it comes to Burkhead, I like him this week. I think, like Scotty said, he's a versatile running back. I don't
he
think
catches
he
catches a lot of balls.
He catches a lot of passes. They use him in that op. They use him in the game that way. And he's going to be one of their main targets with no Eifert and Brandon LaFell is, pedestrian, even though I should have had him in my lineup last week. So I do think he comes in that 11 to 15 range. I think he has a shot, but I'm going to say fiction. I think he will be outscored, but not by a lot. He's a player I'm in on.
Mike Florio, fact or fiction, Rex Burkhead, a top 10 fantasy running back.
I agreed a lot with what Corey and Scott said. I like him. I think he's a good DFS value, but I'm not confident enough to say he'll be a top 10 running back this week.
All right, fact or fiction number two. Let's start with Mike Florio. Landry Jones will have more fantasy points this week than the Raiders' Matt McGloin. Fact or fiction?
Don't really care about either of these guys too much, but I'll say that's a fact, actually. Steelers get a great matchup against the Browns. I think he'll air it out a little bit, and I'll go with Landry Jones.
Fantasy executive?
I tell you what, the Cleveland Browns all season have been the gift that keeps on giving. I've seen Landry Jones, though. Landry Jones is he doesn't really intrigue me at all. I'm going to go fiction. I'm going to say that Matt McGloin will try to get the job done with his weapons on the outside. He has his full starting lineup around him, unlike Landry Jones, who will be playing with guys like me and you.
I'm going to say fiction here. No, I'm going to say fact that Landry Jones does better than Matt McGloin. Ooh. Matt McGloin is erratic. Not that Landry Jones isn't, but it comes down to both these guys are journeyman type quarterbacks. Who has the better matchup? I think Landry Jones does.
I hope Cha Cha's listening.
Scott, right back.
I hope he's not.
He was tweeting back at me at 5:45 in the morning. I think he's listening.
Right back to you. Eli Rodgers will have more fantasy points in Week 17 than Julio Jones.
That's you. That's on you, Scotty. What do you think about that one?
I'm going to say fiction. The Falcons still have something to play for. Jones had a decent enough game last week. I think it's a big game for him this week.
I like Julio.
Fantasy exec.
Yeah, I like Julio in this one right here also. This is a rivalry game. Both teams have a lot to play for. Atlanta, what a terrific job they will be able to do if they're able to go ahead and lock up a first-round bye in the playoffs. No reason to play around, fool around with the Saints. Come out there, hit them hard, hit them fast. Julio Jones, a player who I'm not really in on in 2017, to be honest with you.
Mike Florio, Eli Rodgers or Julio Jones in Week 17. I predict that Rodgers will have more fantasy points. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction. Julio Jones has been like a roller coaster ride all season, but against the Saints, there's no way I'm taking Eli Rogers over him.
There you have it. Next up, Mike Florio, you're up first. If my wife or girlfriend's best friend's husband dies and she's very lonely and is an emotional wreck, and my wife or girlfriend asks me to make love to her as a favor, would I do it?
What back kind of scenario is this?
A Tony Sincotta scenario.
I mean, if you get the thumbs
Come
up,
on now.
If you get the thumbs up from your significant other, why not?
You're going to get the thumbs
from your... I agree, why not, but...
I wouldn't, but I'm saying
in
this scenario...
Wait, what scenario would you get a thumbs up?
In this scenario, it says my wife or girlfriend asked me to do it.
Yes. She felt bad about the lady being all alone.
Read this again, please, Tony.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
If my wife or girlfriend's best friend's husband dies...
Right.
And now she's lonely and is an emotional wreck... And my wife or girlfriend asked me to make love to her friend, and would I do it? Fact or fiction?
Come on, Scotty. Fact or
in
fiction?
In that one.
I think it's totally fiction that this would even happen.
Well, it is, but...
Yeah.
Why would it be fiction? You wouldn't do that for a friend?
This is looking at things from a guy's perspective. Women wouldn't do this. Women wouldn't do this. And, you know, when a woman's despondent, you know, that might not be what necessarily she's looking for. She might be looking for more romance, but not just like a one-off with a yeah, that's good. or a one-off with like a Buffalo Bills fan, you know. I'm saying, you know, come on.
No,
this is total fiction that will ever happen. I'm going to say fiction.
I'm going to go fact. I think it's a fact. I would say, listen, honey. I don't want to do this, but I'll take one for the team, and I'll go over there. Let's
see. You're taking one.
Corey would
team.
Not only do it, he'd make it seem like he's going really out of his way to do his wife a favor.
Yeah.
Like, she owes him one now.
Normally, I would not do this,
but let's say the young lady's name is Pam. I'll go over there and season Pam for you. You know what I mean? And, but what if, I don't want her to get pregnant, though.
In what scenario would a woman say, honey, you know, I was talking to Pam and she's really upset. I need to make her feel better. Will you go over there and screw her? Come on.
Why not? This is
women are not like that. Guys are that.
I was just going to say the same thing, Corey. It's 2017.
I think it was the
realistic
scenario. It
ain't going to happen in 2017, 2018, 2019, 1977, 1978. This is the most ludicrous scenario you've ever come up with,
Cicada. The realistic scenario is they'd be like, do you know anyone for Pam?
Who might want to date her?
Will you go do Pam?
Yeah, with one of your friends. Like
I
could see a scenario where my wife says to me, okay, you know, my friend, she's really despondent, her husband passed away. Do you have a nice friend who could just make her feel better and show her a good time? I see, like, yeah, you know, Corey, you know, that's a realistic scenario.
I get what you're saying. That's also realistic, but this right here, Scott, why not live a free lifestyle? Why not just, you know, throw caution?
This scenario proves to me that we need to get Tony back in New York, because this sounds like a porno movie script. He's been watching too much porn.
What are you talking about? This stuff happens.
This stuff only happens in a porno movie.
Number five to Scotty Angles. Tom Savage will be a top 12 fantasy quarterback in week 17.
I say fiction. Only if like 18 other quarterbacks sit.
Fantasy executive, do you have any love for Tom Savage?
Yeah, the macho man Tom Savage.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Yeah, Tom Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, Tom Savage this week, I mean, I think you want to see Tom Savage before you get into that wild card game that their season's beatings for the Houston Texans. The annual wild card weekend loss.
Season's beatings.
But when it comes to the macho man Tom Savage as a QB1 this week, you know what? I think I can see it. I think the matchup dictates to it. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I think we'll see the fact that he has the weapons on the outside. So you want to see serial targeting of DeAndre Hopkins. The Tennessee Titans secondary has been abysmal going down the stretch.
Yep.
and it's really no reason. Like last week on the Lineup Lock show, everybody was like, oh, no. I was like, I had Washington's defense in my lineup. They were like, oh, I like Tennessee. And I'm like, haven't you seen how Tennessee's been getting destroyed on the back end? Of course, Blake Bortles comes out immediately. Looks like he's running the best offense in the NFL. So, yeah, I think the Macho Man Tom Savage is a QB1 this week because you can get behind Tennessee.
Your thoughts, oh, Florio?
Yeah.
Is
Tom oh, yeah. Savage. The Macho Man, Tom Savage.
A top 12 fantasy quarterback fact or fiction?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be. I'm buying this. The Titans defense has, like Corey said, they've been getting torched by the pass. So the Macho Man is going to be a top 12 quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Did anybody watch Tom Savage throw for 13 yards in one half last week?
I feel what you're saying, Scotty.
Some players don't have the ability to take advantage
but
of him.
But the Macho Man does. Blake Bortles 2 weeks ago threw for 92 yards.
Blake Bortles is a lot more talented than Tom Savage.
Oh, come
Tom
on.
Savage is the heavyweight champ of the world.
Yeah, Scott, come on. Yeah.
Well, look, I'll take him as a top 12 to, like, pin a defender. That's about it.
What if Tom Savage came out the tunnel with a cape on?
Mike Florio, you're up next. Oh, Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen will have at least 17 fantasy points in PPR leagues versus the Bears this week. Adam Thielen, 17 fantasy points versus the Bears.
It's close. He's been getting like double digits, but before last week, 17's asking a lot for him. So I'll say fiction, but I think he does get double digits, but I don't think he reaches 17.
Fantasy exec.
I like this guy a lot. Thielen. Had him on a couple teams, kept him throughout the course of the season. I think the thing right now is I think Diggs is either still banged up or underperforming, or maybe he's hit a wall of some sort. Thielen looks like the go-to guy in the offense. I think he can put up another big game. So, fact.
Mr. King.
I'm going to say fiction. Chicago's secondary has played respectably at times. I think when a guy has a game like this, having two games like this in a row is difficult, especially when Chicago watched the film and, you know, see that they need to give this guy more defensive respect. So I'm going to say fiction on the second Rocky Marciano of the morning.
Fantasy executive, we'll start with you. I believe Donald Trump's White House will have black licorice removed from the candy dish.
I can see it. I can see it. Not because of anything like that, because, you know, he doesn't like... Ooh, I like black licorice. I might
you
be
do,
the only person. A lot of people don't like
it. I know you do.
I like it,
the
actually.
Black twist
I know you
look.
Do.
So, yeah, the king, I get him before the show is over. I get him back for that one. No, but, and you know, make America great again, remove the black licorice from the candy dish. I was at yesterday, I went out to Long Island, not to stop this, I went out to Long Island last night, right? So the cops got this, I didn't know what his nationality or anything like that was. He looked like he was inebriated or drunk or something like that. So they had him on the floor. It was a couple of cops around him and stuff like that. It looked like they were trying to help the gentleman. And this lady walked up to me and she was like, "That's good for him. I can't wait till they start deporting these people. You know it's coming soon." And I'm looking at her like, wow, this is crazy. You know, like, lady, relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, she just approached me out of nowhere. And I'm like, this is awkward. You know what I mean? But as far as I think the black licorice comes out the White House candy dish.
Fact or fiction, black licorice is out at the White House, Mike.
Not only is it out, he's going to build a wall around the candy dish. He's going to make the candy dish great again. And the candy dish will be winning.
What kind of candy?
Starting 2017.
We're eating the wrong kinds of candy.
He knows the best kinds of candy.
Yes. I got candy experts all over the country.
Scott Engel, what do you think? Black licorice is out at the White House.
All colored licorice will be banned. Not just the black, but the red. He will get Twizzlers to make white licorice.
Scotty, fact or fiction, Antonio Gates catches two touchdowns this week.
I'm going to say fiction. He's going to tie the record next season. He's going to break it in the home opener.
Fantasy executive, Antonio Gates, two touchdowns this week.
Nah, the Kansas City Chiefs just about to limit the tight end from the game plan. And listen, no, I think they'll give it a shot. I mean, this really could be his last time. You know.
He said he's coming back next year.
Really?
Yeah.
You see how big he is?
I know you have.
No. I mean, I'm talking about his weight. What is the hell? Like, his weight is a problem, Scott. His weight is a problem. Well, Antonio's
game. He's got bad feet.
Yeah, you're right. That's why he had that plantar fasciitis for 10 years. I would like to see him get
you
it done.
You had plantar fasciitis for a year and a half, and it wasn't a weight issue.
It was about 6 months.
I had it, and it wasn't a weight issue.
No, mine came from kicking your ass.
In your sleep, because in reality it didn't happen.
Mike Florio, last question before we head to break. My dog spends a lot of time licking himself. So is the sexual term doggy style improperly used?
No, it is not. But I know your take on this one. You think it is, but I'm going to say this is fiction.
This is fiction. Fantasy executive, is doggy style improperly used since my dog licks himself?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go fiction also because, like, I've seen dogs make love. And, you know.
What kind of porno are you watching?
No. You know, be on the street or something, you see a dog trying to get a little quick little hump.
Corey just sits down and starts watching.
I'm like, oh, shit, look at the dog.
Scott Engel, what do you got? Fact
Once again, this is fiction. Scott is watching too much porn solo down in Jacksonville. I'm starting to wonder what venues of porn he's like exploring now.
When we come back from break, we're going to do a little fantasy fair factor. You listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Don't go anywhere. It don't stop here, folks. More coming up here. King, Scotty Engel, the fantasy executive, Mike Florio, and the Roto Experts in the Morning. I miss seeing the king dancing up all over the fitness executive. Is it a sight to see?
Nah, he's not. He's not really getting into it like he was the wedding. He's just moving his shoulders right now.
Yeah, that's a groove though. There, I like that.
You like that, Scott?
Yeah, that's a good groove to that.
All right, here we go. Fantasy Fair Factor. We'll have Mike Steele
like, where's the 8-bit version?
Yeah.
And the King, Scott Engel, we got three options to choose from, and we'll figure out which one best suits them. Question number one, next fantasy football season, 20% of your active roster must consist of San Francisco 49ers. Number two, you find a flaw in your league software, and you use a kicker in the flex position every week. Or number three, you isolate yourself from the fantasy football community and only get advice from cha-cha videos. Which one are you going with, Scott Engel? One, two, or three?
I'm
going
to go with three because cha-cha videos are always entertaining and I can still rely on my own advice.
Oh, yeah, because...
And whatever cha-cha says, I'll go the other way.
Tired of getting your head kicked in?
Like last week, he was like, you got to start Spencer Ware. You got to start Spencer Ware. And I'm like, of course I'm going to go the other way.
Oh, what about you, fantasy executive? One, two, or three here?
I'm going to go one because I feel as if, even though 20% of the roster, the active roster has to be 49ers, I still got 80% to play with, and I think that allowed me to sneak into the playoffs at least. As far as relying on cha-cha videos, I don't know, you know. He don't even know the names half the time. He be talking about somebody.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. I like this kid, T.Y. Moncrief. Yeah, you're like.
Florio, who do you got?
I think I'm going to go three, although his advice may be to use a kicker in the flex and have 20% of your roster be 49ers, but I'll go cha-cha videos.
That's a good point, Florio.
All-encompassing. Yeah. Next up, we got three options. We'll start with Mike Florio. You will not attend a live NFL game in 2017. Number two, you will travel to Wembley Stadium to view the Jacksonville Jaguars and sit next to a woman breastfeeding twins during the contest. Or number three, never watch an entire NFL game. You're only restricted to the red zone, no Thursday, Sunday, or Monday night games. So it's the red zone for number three. You go to Wembley Stadium, sit next to a breastfeeding woman the whole game, or not attend an NFL live game. Mike Florio, one, two, or three?
This is a real easy one for me. It's number one. I really don't go to many NFL games at all. Like, I haven't been to one in a long time. So
Why is that? You go see them bum-ass Mets every year.
Oh, I have season tickets to the Mets.
You even travel to go see the bum-ass Mets.
I do.
But you won't go to an NFL game?
Well, travel. He lives in Queens.
No, he goes to other stadiums, too.
Yeah, once a year I take a trip to go.
They're betting the Yankees right now, so you might as well do it.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not getting into the...
I'm not either. I'm going to leave it alone.
I don't know. I'm a Bills fan. They're in Buffalo, so, I mean, I've been to one Giants game, but it was actually
only
a preseason game.
Why have you never went to the Bills and the Jets at MetLife?
Every year I want to, but it doesn't work out. Like, this year they played on a Thursday night, and I had the late shift here that Thursday. So, like, it's always something like that. I actually have only been to, like, one NFL game in my life.
Oh, the NFL experience
I love it live. It's you know, you see a lot more strategy-wise. It's just so much fun no matter what team you're seeing. I love going to football games.
Fantasy executive, which one are you choosing? You will not attend an NFL game 2017. You'll travel to Wembley Stadium, sit next to a breastfeeding woman with two twins, or never watch an entire game, only the red zone.
I would take the flight across the pond, travel to Wembley Stadium, watch the Jaguars, and watch this young lady. I would play with the kids. I'd be like, hey, how you doing, little baby?
Thankfully,
babies?
You said kids. I thought you were going to say something else.
I'd play with the kids. How you doing? Oh, you have a little titty in your mouth.
Scott, which one?
Same one as Corey, man. Yeah. I get a flight to London. I get to go see a football game. And, you know, I can certainly live with that. A lot worse things than seeing a woman breastfeed.
Yeah,
come on.
You can watch one of those cha-cha videos.
Yeah. You may have to bring Cha-Cha with me to see what his reaction is. Look at that over there.
He's a recently married guy, so he should hopefully he's still doing well.
Yeah. Hopefully. Up next, option number one, you will participate in a fantasy baseball auction in person. No online option. With Gilbert Gottfried as the auctioneer and food or drink.
Mike Trout's $50.
Option number two, you will attend Tout Wars as a spectator for the entire 5 hours of the auction. Or option number three, you will attend a Joel Osteen event for the price of $100. Start with Scott Engel.
Well, I've done number two for like 3 hours. I don't know if I could do it for five. I'll do the Joel Osteen event. I think that's great. I think it's a positive thing. There's no fear factor involved for me. In fact, when he came to Yankee Stadium, I was scouting out the tickets, and they were only like $40 each, so over $100 each. You know, for $100, I should be able to get myself and my wife in. So I'll definitely do that because I've always wanted to go see Joel Osteen. I remember when I lived in Florida, the tickets were free to see him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they used to give them off of Joel Osteen did something
for
free?
Yeah,
yeah. Wow.
He would give out his tickets for free, yeah.
He's going to have to not put wood in one of them fireplaces. fantasy executive.
Yeah, I had to give my $100 to Joel Osteen also. I feel like I could have got that ticket for $20, but I just can't. The Tout Wars thing, I'm 5 hours of it. No, I'll be chilling with somebody else. We'll walk outside and go for a walk and come back, and they'll be bidding on you know, so the next big thing. As far as in person with Gilbert Gottfried as the auctioneer, I can't do that voice.
No.
Mike Florio, what do you got?
I also one time went to Tout Wars for like an hour or two, and then went to a bar, so I wouldn't want to do that for 5 hours. I would go with number one because at least like I'm participating in the baseball draft.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Sold to Mike Florio.
Here we go. Last but not
Logan
least,
for rent, $2.
You will have to target Adam Thielen in round 5 of your drafts next season in PPR leagues. You will have to target Keenan Allen in round 2 of your fantasy drafts. Or 3, you will have to explain to your children the importance of condoms. Mike Florio, which one are you going?
Well, I don't have kids, but I still imagine that'd be pretty awkward. So I'm going to go with Keenan Allen because, I mean, we had him as a first-round pick this year. He gets hurt, but if he's healthy, he's going to return that value. So I'll go the Keenan Allen route.
Yeah,
I'm
going to go with Keenan Allen also. If he stays healthy, he can finish in the top 5 fantasy option. I think one of those big-time seasons. And remember, I just keep going back to 6-for-63 before he got hurt. He got hurt before they sang the national anthem. So I think that Keenan Allen would be a guy that I would get in on. I would like a discount on that, but in round two is not egregious.
They sang the national anthem at halftime?
You know what I'm saying.
Scott Engel, what do you got?
Well, see, number three isn't bad because you're supposed to do that as a parent anyway, right?
My children, but, my son, you know, is 15.
At some point, though, you're going to do it, though. You know? At some point, you're going to have to explain it, so I don't think that's a bad thing necessarily.
They can kind of figure it out on their
it's
own.
It's already done, so, you know, I guess I'll go with the Keenan Allen because it seems like the logical thing.
Do you think they should teach that in schools?
Yeah.
Really? I think
don't
Lisa
they do that
Ann
in sex ed anyway?
See, I don't know, because now you got so much with the teachers having sex with the students and stuff like that. So
yeah, the teacher's a problem now. Instead of like explaining to it, like they show him them how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on like this.
Yeah. Come to my house and I'll show you that. We'll do it for homework.
Now turn around.
Yeah.
You're like, what? Bark like a dog.
Now's the time to take a break.
Please.
It's the Roto Experts in the Morning. Coming up next, we'll give you the first round in NFBC, a fantasy baseball drafts that have happened so far.
I'm going to play more Fear Factor.
Fantasy baseball coming up next. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, the Fantasy Executive, and Mike Florio's with us today. King, what's going on over at rotoexperts.com?
Log on to rotoexperts.com right now, and you can get your special free holiday gift from rotoexperts.com and Daily Roto. So check that out right now.
I can't wait to do that. And Mike Florio, what's going on in the Fantasy First Look? What is the show all about?
It's me, Frank Stanfill, Joe Galena, the Fantasy Jesus. We've been talking a lot of fantasy football all year, so now we're kind of excited to transition into a little bit of baseball, some basketball, you know.
I hung out with Joe Galena that night after the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Joe Galena's a cool cat.
He is.
Yeah, I like Joe Galena.
Fantasy Jesus has a little bit of a wild side to him.
Yeah, I can roll with Joe Galena.
Yeah, he must be a Catholic priest. They do crazy things.
Joe's all right.
The NFBC, we have a ADP's out. I will go backwards in this one. And number 15 is a pitcher, and it's Madison Baumgartner. There are three pitchers being selected in the first round, and Baumgartner at number 15. Now, Scott, you've been around a long time doing these drafts. Do you take a pitcher this early in these drafts, and would it be Madison Baumgartner be someone you would consider?
Traditionally, I don't. I'm not even thinking pitcher till at least the third round. But, you know, if you're going to go Baumgartner, does it really get much safer than that? It's a solid
right.
pick. It's something you don't have to worry about, and there's a difference between fantasy football and fantasy baseball, especially with some guys. You know that, you know, some picks are just – they're safe. Last year, 226 two-thirds innings pitch. Only 179 hits allowed, 251 strikeouts. It seemed like it was even a little bit better than the year before. The whip was 1.028. The whip was a little higher than the previous year, but the FIP was only 324. So, you know you're getting a solid pick there. I can't argue with it if you're going to go a pitcher at that point.
At 14, fantasy executive, he's old, but he's reliable, and he still hits 300 every year. He still hits third with 35 home runs. Miguel Cabrera slides down to number 14, but still seems like a solid pick to me.
Nah, this is a great pick, especially if you're coming up on a turn. You get to come right back, and then maybe you take a guy with a little bit more upside that you want to key in on. But the security and safety of Miguel Cabrera, I mean, I feel like for the past like 2 years, we're talking about, oh, Miguel Cabrera at his foot, Miguel Cabrera's getting old, Miguel Cabrera this, Miguel Cabrera that. 316, 38 home runs, driving in over 100 RBIs, still the same old Miggy. So you know the drop-off is coming at some point, but maybe he like went to Santo Domingo and bathed in the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
So I thought, is that where it is? Is it in Santo Domingo?
Santo Domingo is where the Fountain of Youth is at.
I didn't know that. That's good. That's good knowledge.
You also, let me tell you something about Santo Domingo, too. Like, the American dollar stretches in Santo Domingo, so you can get two for one.
Oh, I like 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Speaking of 2-for-1, Mike Florio, Trey Turner, after one complete season, he's second base and outfield eligible, finds himself in the first round going number 13. Is this too early, Mike?
I can't knock it, but I think people are – their expectations are a little too high. I think realistically what he kind of projects to be is like a – what A.J. Pollock was a couple years ago. If that's if he hits, I think people, though, expecting him – are looking at his half-season numbers last year and thinking – just doubling that and thinking this guy could hit 30 homers and steal 60 bases. And if that's what you're expecting, I think you're going to be disappointed.
What would you guys say about 20 homers, 50 steals, and, like, over 100 runs? I think – is that realistic projection?
It is, but do you pay that early for it? And can you even guarantee it? You know, when you listen to Rusty's Fantasy with myself and Rusty Ryle every Saturday, you know, we talk about the danger of projecting half season over a full season. You know, especially when a young kid like this plays over a full season, you know, some of the holes are going to be exposed. You just don't get those kind of numbers over a full season if you project what he did last year and expand it over for a full season.
You know what I think is driving
it? There's more struggles over a full season.
I think steals are going to be at a premium. That's what's driving the power-speed combo. That's what's driving the ADP.
They were last year. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and we'll break down the top 12. We'll touch a little more on Trey Turner. Don't go anywhere. Talk a little fantasy baseball at the top of the hour. You listen to Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Tony Cicada here with the Fantasy Executive Corey Parris of the King Scott Angle, America's Choice, Mike Florio. And we're bringing you fantasy football, fantasy baseball, and a couple laughs right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We were covering, before we went to break, the NFBC ADPs thus far in the season. And we've gone through 15 to number 13. And they were as follows: at 15, Madison Bumgarner. 14 was Miguel Cabrera. 13 was Trey Turner. And at number 12, Scott, was Anthony Rizzo, the Cubs' first baseman. And Rizzo, I would love to find at number 12.
Yeah, what a terrific value he might be there. You know, when you consider, you know, the kind of numbers that this guy can put up and what age he's in, and you know the team around him. You just felt like, you know, Rizzo was progressing over the last few years, where his plate discipline was improving. And then last year we saw him with a .292 batting average, the best of his career last year. 32 homers and 109 RBI. So the slugging was pretty commensurate. From steals, he dropped from 17 to 3. He was so appealing going into last year. I don't know if anybody expected to see 17 steals again, but I'd like to see maybe 10. You can give me 10. That's nice. I mean, it's not exactly Paul Goldschmidt at the position, but there's no reason to, like, you know, this is another safe pick. You know, the kid is obviously in his prime right now. You know what you're going to get. You know, the plate discipline is improved. He's only 27 years old. So to me, it's like another one of those safe picks.
Number 11, we have Max Scherzer, the second pitcher in the first round, is 3 total. Florio, what's your thoughts on taking a pitcher at number 11?
I'm actually not against it at all, because we see a lot – pitching has become kind of top-heavy, but a lot of those top guys aren't reliable in health, like a Noah Syndergaard. Like, you know you're going to get a lot out of him, but he's not going to give the innings that a Scherzer will, and you know he has some elbow issues. So, I mean, Max Scherzer is as safe as it gets. You're going to get over 200 innings, over a strikeout per inning, a lot of wins. So I'm not against it at all. I think, like, Scherzer, Kershaw, and Mad Bum are all well worth it.
And the fantasy executive at number 10 is Josh Donaldson. It's going to be interesting to see with Donaldson. Last year, he got a little bit hurt in the RBIs because he hit the number 2 spot. He should hit 3 or 4, but he's already lost in Encarnacion, could lose possibly Jose Bautista, but they're talking back there. What's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, losing the help around him in the lineup is something that can be tough, but I also think that this is a relatively safe pick. We've seen him done it. He gets the benefits of playing in in hitter-friendly ballparks through a good majority of the season. Now, it's a lot of other – it's some very good third baseman coming up in the pool this year, and we'll be talking about some of them as we go through the rest of this list. So I think this is a good spot for him the way I'm looking at it right now. Do you bump Rizzo up? Maybe so, but I don't have a problem with Josh Donaldson. But I think I can see where there is – people will be skeptical, but he's definitely got us locked into the first round.
Number nine is the Washington Nationals outfielder Bryce Harper. Had a down season for Harper last year. A lot of people give him a pass based on injuries. Your thoughts on Bryce Harper? Are you surprised he fell this low, Scotty?
I don't know if last season was just due to injuries. You know, when you watch the guy play when he was healthy, it seemed like he wasn't quite, you know, hitting the off-speed pitches like he should. There was something that the league got a book on him where, you know, they were bringing different arsenals against him, and it definitely hurt him in a big way last year. But, you know, baseball is a game of constant adjustments. When the league adjusts to you, you have to adjust back. And that's what I think we can see from Bryce Harper this year. You know, the talent is immense. You know, you got to remember, the kid is still very young. He's only 24 years old. And, you know, maybe we saw the best of him the year before. His batting average dropped nearly 100 points, and he had nearly half the homers as well. You know, you're talking about, like, he only played six games less than he did the previous year. When you look at the fact that his walk rate dropped slightly, the strikeout rate also dropped slightly, but the isolated power is down from 319 to 198. But you also got to look at the fact that maybe, like, the BABIP, you know, went to 264. Maybe he was a little bit of unlucky. I think it was a combination of factors that really contributed to Bryce Harper, you know, putting up the numbers that he did last year. And I think talent wins out, and you got to take the crack.
A 2080 guy is a first rounder?
I think he's better than a 2080 guy.
But the numbers say he's a 2080 guy.
Well, the numbers of the year before said he was a 40-118 guy.
Yeah, it said he was an MVP. Yeah.
So let's go in the middle somewhere and say he's like a 35-100 guy.
All right.
And let's not forget, last year he stole 21 bases, and nobody saw that coming. That was the one positive. You know, give me a dozen this year, you know, with 35 and, you know, 120, and I'll take it.
A baker's dozen for the king.
Yeah. No, baker's dozen is for Sussman.
Why?
Holiday Bake Off.
Is he a baker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about his Holiday Bake Off skills.
Yeah, I wonder if he took off today to, like, go to the bakery.
He was, I don't know if he was doing it. You think he was making a little pig in a blanket?
Maybe. Maybe he has one.
Yeah.
Florida, Scott said maybe he has one.
Maybe he has one for breakfast.
Florio, what's your thoughts on Bryce Harper at number nine?
I mean, this guy, you had to spend your top overall pick last year on him, number one. So getting him at nine, I know he had the down year, but like Scott said, he's battling some injuries. I think he'll bounce back. Plus, if he can give you a few stolen bases at nine, he's well worth the risk.
Bryce Harper killed me in Tout Wars last year. I spent up for him last year, and it totally killed me, but I'm going to be willing to go back.
Will you do it again this year? You'll spend up?
I just said I'll be willing to go back.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, he wanted to spend as much.
Yeah, somebody caddy this morning.
Well, I said I'll be willing to go back, and then you said, would you do it again?
But, I mean, when I'm saying would you do it again, would you spend on a top-dollar player like that?
I said I'd be willing to go back. Was that clear enough for you?
When you say you're willing to go back, meaning you're willing to go back.
Where do you think I'm going to have to go back? I'm not going to be bidding in the 20s for this guy. Come on.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Well, let's just go through the list, since you want to be a asshole. Let's just go through the list.
Well, at least I can hear you say an asshole. It's like, I just answered the question. You're asking me the same thing.
All right, go ahead, Scotty.
Number eight, Manny Machado from the Baltimore Orioles. Seven, Paul Goldschmidt. Now, Goldschmidt only hit 24 home runs last year, but he did have the 30 stolen bases. The power numbers have come down a couple of years here. Any concern for Goldschmidt here, Scotty?
It's another thing. It goes back to talent, and the talent is there. But, you know, how good is the lineup around him going to be?
It's terrible.
You know, it's awful, and there's even been rumors of him, you know, being traded out of Arizona that we've heard this year. Last year, you know, we saw the power go down from 33 to 24, the RBIs from 110 to 95. He steals a heck of a lot. The steals went up, though. That's a thing
that's
commensurate with both him and Harper. Like, well, you know, I know I'm not going to get on base as much, so maybe I'll just take second when I have the opportunity. But he was 297 to 321. You know, you look at the numbers and you feel like this guy's got to regress to the mean. We've seen 36. We've seen 33 last year. Last year, 579 at bats, 150 strikeouts. The strikeout rate was up last year. I still feel like, you know, this guy, you know, he's another guy that's still young here. He's age 29. You know, he's not a running back. So, you know, I think around 10, 11, I'm still good with Goldschmidt.
You like the running back comment?
I thought that was funny. He said he's not a running back. He's not a running back.
Because everybody does that. It's like, you know, it's like a quarterback gets to age 30 and they say he's getting old because everybody's so used to the running back conversation.
All right. I'm cool with it, Scott. But as far as Goldschmidt go, I think you're paying for the reliability. Do you want to see a bounce back off the last season? Definitely. But the reliability of the player, I think, is worth going in for.
Florio, when you go out with your buddies, do you do shots?
Oh, yeah. And when we went out after the holiday party, Nando had us doing pickleback shots like crazy.
I love it.
Corey was there.
Yeah. I love it. I love pickleback.
I've spent enough time with Nando to see what knows what goes on there. But so you do picklebacks, but you don't do like the trendy, like, not cool stuff that young guys do. Like, you don't do shots of Fireball or anything.
Oh,
like
I do
that,
Fireball
right?
all the time. Someone actually came over to my house the other day and they brought me a bottle of Fireball and we drank it all that night.
I like that. That's a strong
and the
young
next
man.
Day Florio wasn't turned on the mics correctly.
This was on Friday, so I wasn't here on Saturday.
What is a pickleback shot?
I don't know. It's a shot of something
of whiskey.
Of whiskey. And then you drink a shot of pickle juice.
Yeah, so Scott, I do the shot and never do the pickle.
Oh.
You're a real man.
Yeah, I never do the pickle. I you know what I mean? I'm very particular what goes in my mouth, Scott, and there's no pickle in this mouth.
Yeah, but you're not particular about what comes out of it, though.
No, at number six, Clayton Kershaw. At number six is Kershaw. He is the... last year, he was going on the top three picks in a lot of drafts. So, Kershaw was injured last year, missed a little time, and he drops down to number six. At five, Nolan Arenado. At four is a Nando DeFino favorite. That's Jose Altuve. Mike Florio, what do you think about taking Jose Altuve at number four?
I have nothing against it. I'm never going to be the one who does it just because I think at that point you could get more power. Or you can go Kershaw, which I'm a fan of doing it that early. But, I mean, with Altuve, he's going to give you, you would expect, around 20 homers. He's going to steal over 30 bases. He's going to give you a great average, score a lot of runs. So you're going to get five categories out of him. But I like to take a guy who could hit, you know, close to 40 homers or is going to be an elite top pitcher. But I don't knock the Altuve pick at all.
See, I can get in on Altuve right here. I just the hits, the eye at the plate. I think he's a real good player, like the multi-category help that you get from Altuve. I think the lineup around him is getting better, too. I'm in on Jose Altuve. I'm in on the diminutive guy.
Diminutive.
You're like, oh, you're not. Oh, nobody likes a diminutive guy. Okay.
Surprise coming from Tony.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's a suspension coming.
This
guy reminds me of Jacoby Ellsbury, right? Jacoby Ellsbury was a free agent, and he seemed to change. He must have changed pharmacists because he hit those 33 home runs, and never did it again. Look at what Altuve's done: 5-2, 7-5, 7-15, and 24. He's a 5'5", 5'6" guy. Probably weighs 150, 160 pounds. I'm a little concerned about this.
A lot of
actually
pop.
Being true now.
Here's the thing: what Tony is talking about is like, regardless of like, you know, whether he's like, you know, on Jose Canseco's mailing list or not. This guy, 20 from 15 to 7 to 15 to 24, You wonder if it's an outlier and it'll regress to the mean of maybe 14. So you're paying too much for last year's 24. The one thing in his favor, though, last year is he developed a better eye at the plate. Like, he had the highest walk rate of his career last year. The BABIP.
And he's only 26.
Yeah, the BABIP was pretty much in line with what you saw from 2 years prior to that. The 338 batting average. Same thing, commensurate with 2014, but you have to wonder if the power is just a little bit of an outlier, and maybe you should expect more like, say, 315 and 15 home runs with the steals, though he's still 56. He was down to 30, so this could be just a thing of a guy changing his approach.
Yeah, I'm going to let somebody
else
deal
with that. There's a nice floor there, though.
At number three, Cubs, Chris. Chris Bryant, and number two, the Boston Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts, and number one, Mike Trout.
Mookie Betts healthy, right? I know he had some. Had a cleanup procedure in the offseason, something like that.
Yeah, he's healthy.
He's good to go.
Yeah, you want to sign him up? You got to go Mookie Betts over Mike Trout.
I don't know if I can go that far. Mike Trout's a beast. Any buy stuff for the Eagles?
That's true. He buys fantasy executive. Let's fill Scott in and see what Scott's impression is. Mike Trout decided to buy athletic shoes for the Philadelphia Eagles because he was a fan growing up, and I think it's a bad mistake by Mike Trout when he's playing for a professional team in Los Angeles. He shouldn't be openly going out and supporting the Philadelphia Eagles. What's your thoughts?
Now, when did he do this?
Recently.
Yeah. Okay. First off, I'll say it's a little too late, because what are they going to do, wear them in the offseason now? They ain't going to the playoffs. Secondly, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, though, because the guy's supporting his childhood team. There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing says that you have to be a Rams fan, you know, if you grew up in that area and you rooted for that team. I'm okay with it from that perspective.
Nothing says that, but doesn't it come into common decency and common sense? I mean, shouldn't you be supporting the area that's paying all that money?
What do you think about that, Scotty?
I think if he's going to do something for the Eagles, that, like, you can make a case, okay, do something for the Rams, but I don't have a problem with it. He's an Eagles fan. It's like, you know, I meet pool players all the time that they're fans of certain teams because that's where they grew up. You know, I think that's their business.
Who's the Seahawks' number one rival? The Arizona Cardinals?
Probably the 49ers.
So what if Russell Wilson was wearing a San Francisco Giants hat everywhere? Wouldn't people get pissed off?
So what if he was? If that's the team he grew up rooting for, but I don't think it is.
You know, he's a baseball player.
He's wearing a Texas Rangers hat. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, he trains with them during the offseason.
What if he went hanging out with the San Francisco Giants?
If that was his team growing up, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Scotty's the ultimate fan. You're loyal. Yeah, you're a fan. You're a fan's fan.
Yeah. Not like you.
Mike Florio, how would you feel, Mike Florio, if all of a sudden O.J. Simpson was wearing a New England Patriots hat?
I mean, O.J. has more on his plate than if I care if he's wearing a Patriot hat or not. So, plus, I mean, O.J.'s before my time. But, like, if Tyrod Taylor was wearing, like, a Washington Nationals hat, I don't care. I mean, I like him for football. I don't care what Tyrod's opinion on baseball is.
Tony, do you remember when Tom Brady got caught a lot of crap for wearing a Yankee hat?
Yeah, well, that's how it came up.
And then LeBron James was spotted wearing a Yankee hat, too.
No, LeBron James is a Yankee fan. Yeah. Greatness, real greatness, recognized greatness.
Really?
Yep.
He's also a front runner.
But he's. Yeah. Oh, he is.
I don't understand what's so
Indians
great about Chase Headley, but, you know.
He's a Cowboys fan as well.
Oh, you say he's a front runner?
Chase Headley didn't go to. Yeah, he didn't go to Moorhead State, though.
That breaking news on the NFL front.
What?
Something I've been waiting for. Something I've been waiting for all year.
Tony Romo got traded?
Tony Romo is going to play for an undisclosed amount of time on Sunday. Just got this. I just got the alert.
Is Sanchez still getting most of the reps, though?
My guess is Sanchez to get most of the reps. Tony Romo going to play for an unspecified amount of time on Sunday. Now, listen, like, this is my thing on this, fellas.
Unspecified? I was, 2 minutes?
Gonna be the holder.
I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, this is the kind of thing that I think about, like, you know, throughout the course of the day. You know, it's really, I want to see him as a fan. But it's probably a bad idea to play Tony Romo, because if he comes out, and mind you, this is a big time trade chip you have. If he comes out, gets hurt, or stinks to join up, you lower his trade value. But if he comes out and you run him out there for three drives and he throws three touchdown passes, and then Dak Prescott loses in the division round, everybody's gonna say, why don't you play Tony Romo?
See, that's the most ridiculous thing though I've ever heard, because Dak Prescott, he won 13 games, right?
That's true.
So I don't understand how in any argument, like even if he threw for 42 passes and a half, the other guy won 13 games.
But still, you look at a situation where if Romo comes in week 17, performs well, you're going to spend the next 2 weeks talking about how great Romo looked. And then you get a situation where Dallas loses in the division round. People are going to say, why didn't you put in Tony Romo?
Well, people are stupid anyway, so you can't just go by whatever people say. I mean, the guy won 13 games. It's not like they're 8-8.
Yeah, no, I dig that. What would you, if you were in Jerry Jones' shoes, Tony, what would you do?
I wouldn't play him because I'm afraid he's going to get hurt, and I'm not going to do it. I can't do anything with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him either. Because
the guy hasn't played football in 2 years.
Oh, yeah, just about. The last game he played was NFC Championship game in 2014. Or the beginning of 2015.
He didn't play it all last year?
Huh?
He didn't play it all last year? He played
the first game of the year versus the Giants. Yeah. He got hurt in week two versus Philadelphia. He came back and played against Miami. And then he played the next week against Carolina and got hurt again. So he's played about 12 quarters in the last 2 years.
So how is Sanchez going to still get the majority of the snaps? What does the report say?
I go right now to the team stream. I got it from Bleacher Report. It says, NFL, Tony Romo to play for undetermined amount of time will be first game since Thanksgiving 2015. That's it.
It took Corey 15 minutes to get that because he had to slide through. He had to five slides
to get it. I was like, wait a minute, Chocolate Thunder.
Darryl Dawkins.
You're listening to Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll come back. We'll break down some more. And, of course, we got some more interesting segments coming up. And, of course, is Mike Florio lying in the 9 o'clock hour? What could be better than this? Probably the circus. Other than that, I don't know anything else. I like snow cones. We're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit about...
Marry the smoker.
Yeah.
You ever married... Did you ever kiss a girl that smoked, Scotty?
My wife used to smoke. I actually... Really? You'll find this strange. For some weird reason, when I kiss a girl that smokes, it's a turn-on. I don't know why.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Scott's in the kinky thing.
But thankfully, though, my wife did quit about 4 years ago.
Nice, good for the health. Yeah.
Good for her. But it was a turn-on.
Yeah, Florio, what turns you on?
The complete opposite of Scott, a mouth that doesn't taste like cigarettes. I don't enjoy it at all, personally.
What about an Adam's apple?
No.
Sure, if it's a Bills jersey around it.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Greatest program of all time. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive. My name's Tony Cicada. And Fantasy Executive, let me ask you, you seem to have a love and a passion for fantasy football.
Yeah.
Now, why do you not have the same love, passion, the same desire for football as you do for baseball, where it seems almost like fantasy football is your woman that has all the assets that you're looking for, and that fantasy baseball is more like, you know what, if I got nothing to do, I could dial that number.
I was into it for a good while. Was playing in season-long leagues and yearly leagues and stuff like that. And I probably will go back to that this year. You know, I'm pretty decent at this, too. I can play this, you know. You know, I can, you know, numbers and stuff like that. I get the concept of rotisserie baseball. You know, I can probably do well in the auction, too. I put my mind to it. Anything's possible!
Where is that from?
Kevin Garnett. But, okay. Really, the baseball, DFS baseball is one of my favorite DFS games to play. So maybe that's why I've kind of lost some of the season long aspect of it. But you know, I like DFS baseball. It's taken over for season long baseball for me. But as far as the day to day, the in and out, the grind of day to day, in and out, setting lineups and looking at splits and doing this and doing that, it can be difficult. Whereas football, you know, well, I do football 7 days a week too, but I think it just comes a little bit more. It's more excitement to it with the condensed season.
Scotty, what's your thoughts on the differences for fantasy baseball and football that it presents for the fantasy owner that hasn't taken a look at baseball as of yet?
Fantasy baseball is more players. Much more games, much more work you have to put in. I don't think you can't be at some sort of expert level not to play fantasy baseball. It can't be recreational like fantasy football. I think there's less luck in it. I think when you look at certain scoring formats like rotisserie, it combs out of a lot of the luck. But a lot of people who played fantasy football should play head-to-head fantasy baseball. Because I think that's the easiest transition for them.
No, I'm not going to. I get what you're saying, but why? Yeah, the average, a good fantasy
when
football
you go from
player,
when you go from the football to the whole rotisserie thing, it's a bigger transition.
One of our listeners that's never played fantasy baseball can listen to us, hop in the 12-team Roto League, and take their knowledge from putting together rosters and lineups and stuff like that. And be very competitive in the fantasy baseball league.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
Okay.
I'm saying it's easier to make the transition to head-to-head.
I beat you in the Roto League this year, Scott.
Easier is...
Corey, you have to, like, be able to do this without help first.
All right.
Before you start knocking on the door of somebody like me.
Whoa. You don't win no chips.
I have a lot of baseball trophies.
Where?
A lot of baseball.
Bring them in.
I've won the FSTA more than once.
1976.
Doesn't matter when it happened. You brag about the Yankees winning in 1941 when you never seen it.
That's a good point, Scott.
That's still more than him.
I'm saying these Yankees fans, they keep bringing up these titles they weren't even alive for.
I know. That's all they can do, though. It's like, because the Yankees have been mediocre recently. It's like, you know, they're moving Yankee games from the YES Network to the History Channel.
Jesus. That's a rough one there, fantasy executive.
Yeah, he's a hater.
I'm not. It's just I don't have anything against the Yankees at all. Really, especially since I started getting credentials and closer to the game and stuff like that. But, you know, if somebody's going to come at me, I'm going to be ready. So, you know, Corey actually hates the Mets more than he likes the Yankees. So,
yeah. What about Alex Rodriguez? You don't like him, do you, Scott?
No, I don't care for him, no.
No. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to break down a new contest, Fantasy Fraud or God. We've got players, both baseball and football, and I think some life people here as well. Fantasy Fraud or God is up next for the Roto Experts in the Morning. Don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss this. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Tony Cicada here with the King, Scotty Engel, the fantasy executive, and of course, Mike Florio. Up next, we've got fantasy fraud or God. I'll give you a player, and you tell me whether they're a fantasy fraud or God. We start out with the King, Scott Engel. Denver Broncos running back C.J. Anderson. Fantasy fraud or God?
I'll say a fraud. We've never seen this guy do it wire to wire. We've always been teased by the potential. Whether it's injury or some other reason, Ronnie Hillman getting in the way like last year. We've never quite seen it from C.J. Anderson. I think we're going to have to remember this going into drafts next year is like, when has the guy had a full season of good production? He never has.
Fantasy executive, is C.J. Anderson a fraud or God?
This is actually a very good question. This is a tough call right here. I don't think that he's a fantasy God, but I think that the discount that's built into his ADP in 2017 may be able to make him a God. I think you can get a nice return on investment from Anderson. He comes in as that a draft, if he's drafting that RB2/flex range, maybe anywhere from that 4 to 6 round range, I think you can see some return on investment, or Ashley Dawkins on TV.
Focus on the show, Clark.
Sorry.
Yeah. Boing. I'm sure Ashley's going to appreciate that when she listens to the show. Guy's got no professional respect.
You never know. She might.
You know what? I thought when a certain person left this. You know, I thought when a certain person left this network, we're going to be done with this kind of human resources nonsense. But like, you're like, I'm watching Ashley docking. Boy, the hostess just came in. She's sturdy.
I keep it 100, Scotty.
Yeah, I never heard the term trouble. Sturdy used the way Corey uses it.
Sturdy, you know.
made us sound like a
shelf,
like a recliner.
Not a bad idea.
Mike Florio, what's your C.J. Anderson fantasy fraud or God?
I'm going to say fraud. This guy, he does it in little bursts, but we've, like Scott said, we've never seen him do it for a full season, and he has injury history, so I'm going to say fraud.
And now we'll go back to Mike Florio. How about Chicago Bears' Jay Cutler?
What has this guy done to ever been remotely called a god? I mean, this guy has to be a fraud. Every year people buy in. For a while people were buying in. He's going to have a good year. This is the year. Last year everyone was really high on him. And he just never really comes through. His days as a starter are probably limited. I'll say fraud.
Fantasy executive Jay Cutler.
Nah, Jay Cutler is a straight up fraud. It's nothing, I mean, do you want the quarterback of the Jets next season? Because that's more than likely what he's going to be. So, you might get a lot of garbage time playing from behind. But other than that, he's a fraud. Ashley Dawkins, not a fraud.
I will try to help Scott out.
Stop it, Corey. Somebody get this guy Scotty, a date. He's out of control.
Jay Cutler once proposed
I think it's an insult to even call this guy a fraud because other frauds will be insulted. What has the guy ever done, really? It's like he had his best season of the career last year.
He proposed to his wife by text.
What does it have to do with fantasy football? So, that doesn't sound very creative
I'm giving the character
either.
Up.
It's like character. Improved over the last 2 years. He started sulking less, but, the guy is like beyond fraud.
All right, fantasy fraud or God, Scotty, Adrian Peterson.
He's a fantasy God overall in his career, but at this point he's going to start becoming a fraud because he can't stay healthy and the offensive line is not good.
A fantasy executive, fantasy fraud or God,
fraud.
Adrian Peterson.
I don't deal with older running backs, and then this is guy that's going to be on a different team next year. Could be very likely in a timeshare, or could even be a backup somewhere. I think we've seen the best.
I doubt he takes a job somewhere where he's going to be a backup.
Where can he start?
We could probably point out a few teams right now.
Where can he start? Cleveland?
What? No, Cleveland's got Crowell.
So where can he start?
Detroit.
Oh, that's true. He could start in Detroit. Yeah. Oh, Amir Abdullah back. He'll be in a timeshare.
Like I said, Detroit.
He'll be in a timeshare. If Abdullah comes back healthy, he's in the timeshare.
Amir Abdullah.
What about Denver?
He could be in the Jets. He could be on the Jets with Cutler.
But he'll be in a timeshare with Powell.
Powell be a complimentary back.
To 40-year-old Adrian Peterson.
somebody's still going to give him a job. I'm not going to say it's the right move.
He's not going to be a starting running back. He's not going to have a full.
He could start in Baltimore.
He won't be a bell cow. He'll split carries with Kenneth Dixon.
He'll still get a lot of work, though.
He will not be a bell cow.
He'll still get a lot of work, though. He's probably past the point where you get a bell cow, but I don't think anybody's looking for him to be the feature back anymore. He could still be the number one ball carry.
That's what we just talked about, Scott.
He could still be the number. There's a difference between being a bell cow and getting all the carries and being the number one and getting
being
the lead.
Where can he be a feature back at and get 20 to 23 carries a game?
I'm talking about 15 to 20. Okay, he can still be the lead ball carrier for a team like Baltimore.
Ooh, I would go with Kenneth Dixon before I go with Adrian Peterson.
I don't know, maybe the two might complement each other with Peterson getting more of the carries.
You like Adrian Peterson.
What's not to like? Jacksonville.
He's old. He's washed up. That's what's not to like, Scott. It's time to move on.
No,
time to
say goodbye. Talking about with the pass. Jacksonville.
Listen. Oh, they bring in a new head coach and they get all of these new things.
Yeah.
They bring in a new coach and an old running back. What kind of
I'm not saying I agree with it. I could say I'm seeing these scenarios happen.
He is washed up. Forget about it.
Somebody's going to give him a chance.
Forget about it.
Somebody's going to give him a chance.
It's a done deal. He's washed.
Somebody's going to give him a shot.
Scott Engel, Cleveland Indians relief pitcher Andrew Miller.
Yeah, he's a god. You got to believe what you see. I know in past seasons, like, he seemed like a journeyman, but the stuff is too good right now. You know, guys like him are changing the game right now.
I agree.
Fantasy executive, Andrew Miller.
Andrew Miller. I mean, he looked unhittable down the stretch. So many things he can do for your fantasy baseball team. Well, mainly get saves and strikeouts. You know what I'm saying?
Not going to get too many saves, though.
Yeah. Huh?
Not going to get too many saves.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to lead up to the closer.
Yo, so he won't be the closer. The other kid to be the closer.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm just looking at the list.
It could go back. It wouldn't shock me if he got double digits saves, Scotty.
Well, if there's an injury or something. But, you know, they want to use him in middle relief, you would think, the way that he's done it.
Yeah.
Why mess with success?
Yeah,
sure. Well, if there's an injury, you know, that could happen. We've already seen it happen with the Yankees. When he was there.
Mike Florio, Andrew Miller, a fantasy fraud or god?
Oh, he's a god. The Indians had some nice pieces last year, but he was the main reason they made it to Game 7 in the World Series. That, as a relief pitcher, that's awesome.
God didn't want them to win the World Series.
Now you speaking for God.
Really?
Oh, God didn't want him to win the World Series. God didn't. Don't never want the Mets to win the damn World Series.
Let the bars be accurate. They won twice. God wants you to be loyal, but you're not. I didn't watch the Knicks. No, a team called the Indians with a logo like that, why would God want a team like that to win?
Oh, now the logo been that for years, Scott. Now all of a sudden you in on it.
That's right. Like you're in on the Washington football team,
I've been
team,
saying
right?
that since you met
yeah.
me.
You know what? I didn't pick up on it for years, but you know what? Now that I've looked at it, people are right.
We can get into this the next segment.
Anybody
who says it's an offensive logo is correct, I think.
Oh, well, you said the people. I didn't know if you meant Daniel Snyder's people.
No, Daniel Snyder don't care, obviously. No. Washington football fans don't care.
No. Mike Florio, fantasy fraud of God, Gary Dirty Sanchez.
This is going to upset a lot of people and maybe even Corey, but I think Gary Sanchez is awesome, but I think people are going to overdraft him, and I think some regression's coming. This guy's like ISO was off the charts. I think people are going to look at his half-season number and just double it, and I think that's a big mistake. So I'm going to say fraud. Kind of why I was off Kyle Schwarber last year. I think he's very similar. But I do think he is the number three catcher off the board, but I just think people are going to overpay for him.
Yeah, you know what?
Gary Sanchez going to the third round for people out there in the NFBC
boy.
Right now.
I mean, listen, we saw it last year. The power is real. Definitely can get the ball out the ballpark in a hurry, too. So, obviously, that's something that you're going to pay for. Get the job full-time. But strikeout rate, about 25%. The ground ball rate close to 50. I Florio might be on sub, but he's going to be overdrafted. I think Gary Sanchez is probably a little bit fraudulent.
What's your thoughts, Mr.
angle.
The king. Yeah,
like me and Rusty Ryle talk about, when you try to project these numbers over a full season, it's erroneous, you know, because over a full season, for any player, really, you know, there's going to be a lot more valleys, et cetera. You know, they're going to be prone to longer slumps. So I think if anybody's, you know, projecting themselves like to be 35, 40 homers, they're erroneous. The guy kid proved to me belongs in the majors, but, you know, I wouldn't automatically just be projecting 40 homers for him, so I'm going to say fraud. He's going too early. He hasn't proven it enough at the major league level.
Fantasy executive, do you know what the actual meaning of a dirty Sanchez is?
No, I don't know what the actual meaning of it is. I think it got something to do with your facial hair. And so if your facial hair gets dirty.
This is crazy.
Maybe that's, it's, am I going in the right direction?
Yeah. This is
like tossing a salad or something?
Your dictionary. It's after butt sex, the act of drawing a mustache on a recipient's face with the object of penetration, usually a penis. That's rough.
I can only imagine if Sussman was here today, what his reaction would be.
Bang, 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 it's gonna break.
That's rough. Florio, have you ever taken part in any of this?
No, not at all.
Let me read this a dirty Sanchez. No.
Yeah. Corey's like, hey,
I don't want to do that.
Friday night.
Oh, nah, I'm not. No, see, I'm not this guy right here. I think it's a much safer place to play. You don't have to. You know, you. I like to play in the front. I like to play in the front of the house.
Oh yeah.
Fantasy fraud of God, Scotty Angle, Matt Harvey.
I'm gonna say fantasy fraud here. I think some people may overrate him because of, based on his pedigree, but the guy's coming back from, you know, thoracic outlet syndrome, so he's a big risk.
He could present a buying opportunity. I think he's. I agree with Scotty. I think he's a fraud. He could present a buying opportunity if, you know, if he's healthy and he rounds back into form, because people are going to be off this kid this year. But the thing about it is, like, he had like a rib removed, right?
Yeah.
That's tough.
But the thoracic outlet syndrome is a real tough injury to come back from.
What's the recovery rate on that? Do we got to get Dr. A for this?
Yeah, I think we should talk to him about it. But it's already documented out there about other players who've had it and how long the recovery time is.
It doesn't look good?
Yeah, it's like I don't have too much confidence in the first year back.
Is Matt Harvey washed up?
No.
Like Adrian Peterson?
No, because Matt Harvey's younger and he's still got time to like put this behind him.
Okay.
Right. By the way, on Twitter, Christian Blyer says, Belichick likes to take older players and get the last squeeze out of them, and Peterson wants a ring.
So he's going to go be the running back for New England. And they're not going. Then New England won't have a running game next year.
LeGarrette Blount probably is going to cash in on his big year because he's a free agent next year.
Yeah.
I don't think they pay LeGarrette Blount, though.
So it could leave him.
I wonder what LeGarrette Blount market value is.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with the epic conclusion of a fact or fiction. Coming up next, I'll ask the guys Pablo Sandoval. He's skinny. But we also said a running back in Green Bay was skinny this year, Eddie Lacy. Is Pablo Sandoval the next Eddie Lacy? Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the Morning. Yo, welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scotty Angle, the fantasy executive, Mike Florio. My name's Tony Cicada. You know, I was watching a Kid Rock video this morning, Scott, before the show, and remember when he used to have Little Joe in his band, the little guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember one of his lines one time was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. I don't know if I can repeat it. I don't want to get in trouble, so I don't think I should go there.
Well, clean it up. Make it clean.
He said something, I forgot how the rhyme went, and he was like, I'm 4'6" with a 5-foot boop.
That's
kickstand.
He said, I'm 4 foot six with a 5 foot, and then you know the rest. I got a kick out of that. Yeah, they do say the shorter men are, you know, whatever.
Have you done a study on that, Corey?
No, I'm just saying, I've always heard females say that shorter men are, you know, whatever.
Is that why the little people always have beautiful women with them?
Maybe so. But you actually, like, if we was to call Nicole in here from the other day, and you were like, "Will you tell us a secret about short men?" And she might say, you know, that they're, you know, whatever.
She doesn't look like the type who would, like, want to get into that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that.
She was shy just coming on.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, do that. Florio could do it, though.
I don't think Florio's that type of guy.
She's sturdy.
She is sturdy, though.
I can't see Florio walking up to her and asking her.
No, but I'm saying, though. You
Florio.
Know.
I can see Tony doing that, though.
Yeah, if Tony would do it.
Tony would do it to any woman. Tony would do it to any old woman on the street. Excuse me. Have you ever been with a short man?
Florio. Pablo Sandoval. Fantasy fraud or God.
Easily a fraud. I mean, this guy, he's made a career off of having solid seasons but big postseason performances, which overrate him. And last year, he broke his belt while swinging. I don't care if they say he's skinny or not. I'm not saying that is a god.
Yeah, the thing with Sandoval, I'm gonna go. I agree with Florio. He's a fraud too. Every year, every spring, he's in the best shape of his life. You know what I'm saying? He's like a Mr. February, a Mr. March type guy. Best shape of his life, going to bounce back. The guy stays hurt. There's really no reason to engage Pablo Sandoval. Panda.
Pablo Sandoval's always in shape. He's a big circle. That's the kind of shape he is. But, you know, even if he's trimmed down, you know, what are you going to get out of this guy at best? 270 and 14 homers? He's a fraud.
A fraud. How about Scotty Engel? Rick Porcello, the Cy Young Award winner.
That's a tough one. It's like a lot of the advanced metrics, you know, say that this guy is a fraud.
Yeah.
You know, that. Yeah, we're always so big on strikeouts in fantasy baseball. And, you know, this was a Cy Young Award winner that he like, went against the book. It's like, you're almost against an island if, like, you say the guy is not a god. Last year, he was 22-4, 223 innings pitched. The K per nine was 7.63. And, you know, you look at some of the other numbers here. Like, the FIP was only 3.40. You know, left on base percentage, though, was 74.3%. It was the highest of his career. And the ground ball percentage, he got less ground balls last year. The home run to fly ball rate was down a little bit. The HR per nine was the best year of his career. So I got to say he's a fraud.
I mean, he put it all together and came back with a very strong season. I think I'll go back to the – I mean, I didn't own him nowhere last year. But I think I'll go to the well on the cat this year if the draft price – if the stock is right. If the price is right on draft day.
What's the right price on this guy, though?
Where's he going right now?
What's his ADP right now, Tony?
Probably haven't got that far yet.
I don't have that one in front of me.
Yeah, they release him like a little bit at a time.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got next up, I got to ask our guy, Mike Florio, Ronda Rousey, fantasy fraud or god?
This is the easiest one all day. She is easily a god. Not only did she dominate her sport, she could come into the studio right now and beat up all four of us like it's nothing.
She probably could. Especially really? She'd get me one of those.
Florio sounds like he wants it to happen.
No, I don't. I don't at all. She's, but she could. I'm not going to deny it.
I saw her yesterday.
She's 135 pounds.
Yeah. I think I put her in a headlock. She might. I mean, no, let me stop. wait a minute.
She's sturdy.
Dangerous.
No, I don't want to talk. No, I mean, like, playfully put her in a headlock. Like, hey, and then, you know.
I don't think it'll happen.
Shake hands and stuff like that. I saw her at the weigh-in yesterday. She came out, a little leather jacket on, you know, and little stomach was looking nice and flat. You know what I mean? Had her sitting up there, like, looking nice. So, yeah, I think she's a goddess. I don't mind her.
What's your
you mean as far as fighting?
Got it.
I last time I seen her, she got her face kicked in, but I don't care about that too much.
Yeah. What about yourself, Mr. King?
I don't watch MMA, you know, enough to judge, but from everything I hear, she's a god in her field.
But she got like the shit kicked out of her last year. Like, wow, it was all over the place. It was very ugly.
Well, it was big news because she won so much.
Yeah, that's true too. But that kind of kick.
Is anybody playing DFS MMA this weekend?
It's a big one. Yeah. It's her. She's
playing.
Yeah.
You playing
tonight?
Oh, I'm not. I doubt I. Hey, yeah. Where's this fight at tonight?
Tonight's fight is in Las Vegas.
Oh, it's out in Vegas. Okay, that's cool.
When's the last time
she fought? When she got her face beat in? When was that? It's been
close to a year.
Wow. Because you know what? For a while, she was, every time you turn the damn TV on, you saw this woman. And then she got her face kicked off, and then you're like, you didn't see her again.
Well, when your face falls off, it takes a while to repair.
You're listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scott Engel, and of course, the fantasy executive, Mike Florio. And we got 1 hour remaining. It could be the greatest hour of your life, or it won't be. But you've got to stick around to figure it out, because the one way or another, it's going to alternate your life. Like, some days is a good day, some days are a bad day. It's the final day of the year coming up, right? It's the last Roto Expert show of 2016.
Oh, yeah. Lost one.
You've got to take it all in. This is a collect.
Yeah, this
it's
is.
A collector's edition, Scotty Engel.
Yeah.
I missed some of these. I missed a couple shows this year. Of the Roto Expert shows. I missed a couple. I was on the IR.
Now, Scotty, what was your favorite show of the year?
What was my favorite show of the year? I'd have to say our best one was like that morning when we had Nick Hostetler and good information from Dr. A.
Dr. A is the best show of the year. You heard it here from the King, Scott Engel. Coming up next, the final hour of the Roto Experts. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.